Hell Yes Life, episode 62. Welcome to the Hell Yes Life podcast, the show that helps you come alive so you can live a Hell Yes Life. I'm your host, Norman Bell. Hey there, Hell Yes Lifers. Welcome to another episode of the Hell Yes Life podcast. I am your host, Norman Bell, coming to you live once again from Lincoln Park in the parking lot. That's just where I like to park and do my episodes. I tend not to do them at home right now because, you know, my wife's resting there and sometimes my daughter's there and so forth. So it's my little getaway. Let me tell you something about the Nissan Leaf. This is a not often talked about highlight of an electric car. I'm sitting in a nice, warm, cozy car that is off, essentially. I mean, actually, it's running. It's on. Just the way an idling ICE car would be. ICE stands for internal combustion engine. That's what electric car owners call them, ICE cars. But hey, I don't have to idle my car. I'm not sitting here pumping fumes into the atmosphere as I sit here, nor do I have to sit here with the car off and freeze because it's kind of cold out. So I just wanted to throw that out there as a shout out for electric car owners. I imagine a Tesla would be the same situation or whatever kind of electric car you would get. Yay, electric cars. May they rule the world someday. Okay, so here's the topic of the episode today. It's why stories are killing us and how they can save us. Now, I was going to try to kind of read word for word a speech that I wrote about this last year. And to be honest, I've had this topic as sort of my wannabe TED talk for probably a year or two or so. And I kind of started recording it as a speech, and, it was just, I was making mistakes and I was realizing, I'm going to need to really practice this if I want to do it like that. So I'm not going to do it like that. I'm having fun doing these episodes as just sort of talking and waxing rhapsodic about topics I care about. So let me give you the gist of what I'm trying to say in that speech in my soon-to-be amazingly popular millions and millions of views TED Talk. I'm just kidding. But stories are killing us. Stories are killing us. And now that's kind of an unpopular view, right? Because stories, everybody's loving stories these days. Of course, we love going to the movies. We love reading books, binge watching our favorite Netflix series, whether or whatever HBO series. You know, I'm thinking of Game of Thrones, for example. But whatever your favorite series is to binge watch, those are all stories. Breaking Bad from a couple of years ago comes to mind. Also in business, though, business storytelling has taken hold. And as a matter of fact, a couple of years ago, I was doing some storytelling workshops and storytelling. I'm just going to be transparent with my process here. That's what I see as sort of the role of the podcast for me right now. It's a kind of it's worth listening to. So when I call it a dumping ground, I don't mean to say that you're wasting your time here, but let's call this the unedited tapes. This is sort of like, getting a behind the scenes mixtape of your favorite band or something. Anyway, forget it. Forget what I'm trying to say there. I was doing these storytelling workshops a couple years ago because, I saw that business storytelling was a popular topic. I have a background in communications and storytelling in the sense of, I have a theater and film background. By the way, I haven't really talked about this, but you gotta look for me in this movie. It's a popular movie. Many of you may know it, The Machinist, starring Christian Bale. I have a small speaking part in The Machinist. This has been so far my claim to fame as far as movies go. It is, I played the DMV guy, the Department of Motor Vehicles guy, about two thirds of the way through the movie. Christian Bale, his character, goes into the DMV, is looking for some information, and I am the guy that's just not, you know, I'm just not going to give him that information. I'm that blocking character. I ever since that, I've had that experience. I always, my heart goes out to, you know, when I see a small part guy or small part person in a movie, is like, oh, small part guy, you know, just that sort of very functional role of someone who's there to block the main character, guide them on to the next stage of their journey, etc. Well, my job was to, you know, say, I'm sorry, sir, I can't give you that information. He's trying to get this information about this particular person that he's looking to track down. My best line, I think, out of the whole thing was, sir, this is the DMV, not a dating service. So check that out. But then I give him a little lead at the end. He says, well, you know, I can't give you that information, but the police might be able to. And then on to the next, then he goes on to the next stage of his journey. So check out The Machinist. I was in Spain, actually, living in Barcelona, and they happened to be shooting that movie there, and they were looking for local actors who spoke English. So they tapped into the expat community. And I was signed up at an agent there and ended up getting the part. It was just like a half day's shoot, but it was fun. I can go into more detail about that another time. So like I said, I have a film back, film and a little TV. I was just reminded today, I did a little spot on a Spanish soap opera when I was there. I have to really dig into my memory to remember exactly what the deal was there. Spanish soap opera, yeah. So TV, film, and theater. I've done theater. I've done quite a lot of theater. And I have written my own solo shows, the most notable being in 2009. I wrote this show called Subprime, Inside the Heart of the Mortgage Meltdown. And that was about, I actually had a job for about 10 months or so at a subprime mortgage company out in Kirkland, Washington. Won't go into the name of that company, but a crazy atmosphere and, you know, perfect material for a play or movie. And, you know, it was only later after everything started to happen with the economy that it was like, wow, I was working at a company that was at the epicenter of the downfall of the world economy. So again, I'll save that story for another time. All this to say, I have a background in storytelling in different forms. And so it made sense for me to do storytelling workshops, and I knew that they were popular in business. So all that trying to lead back to my original point that storytelling is all the rage, whether you're in business or, you know, just as a, you know, common person in your outside life. I'll bet you spend a lot of time watching, listening to, or reading stories. We all love stories, right? Well, here's my proposition. I say stories are killing us. They are killing us. And here's why. Stories. So, like I said, I did these workshops about storytelling, and I did some research beforehand to prepare for them. And in the process of doing that research, a few things about stories. Stories are one of the oldest forms of communication. They date back over 40,000 years. You know, the first cave paintings are considered a form of storytelling. They also access a part of the brain that mere facts and figures do not. Mere facts and figures are processed by the prefrontal cortex, I believe. Not me. I'm not looking at my notes here. So being a non-science guy, I'm trying to, you know, throw in some science. I might get it wrong. Prefrontal cortex, newer part of the brain. But storytelling accesses a very ancient part of the brain, the amygdala, which is a little almond-shaped part of the brain at the base of the skull. And so that's kind of the reptilian brain. That's where our, you know, our kind of fear and pleasure center is, if I'm not mistaken. Definitely the fear center anyway. So here's another thing about stories. I think we all know this. Three parts of a story. What are they? Okay, and hopefully you just said beginning, middle, and end. Yes, the beginning, the middle, and the end. I had slightly more technical language that I used in my workshops. I called those three parts context, conflict, and conclusion. Context, conflict, and conclusion. Okay, kind of hard to say right there. The three C's, right? That's catchy, three C's. Now, context, that could be, that basically, so let's take Star Wars as a well-known example that we can think about. The context of the story is where we're introduced to the characters. Star Wars might actually not be the best example because there's some conflict right at the beginning. And then, you know, we go down to Tatooine and we meet Luke. And it takes a little while to meet Luke. So there's, you know, we're actually introduced to some other characters first. Let's just say the context piece of the story. And so we're going to use a movie as an example. The context piece, you know, so imagine a 2-hour movie, 120 minutes. So, that is where we're introduced to the main characters, the heroes' existing world. And that part of the story is, you know, that's going to be probably about 15, 20 minutes or so. Well, we get a little sense of what their life is like, you know, what are they kind of struggling with on a day-to-day basis. The second part of the movie, the conflict happens, and this usually starts with what they call the inciting incident. And that's the thing, the new thing that's introduced. It may be a big thing, like suddenly a car crashes into the hero's car, and all hell breaks loose, and from there on out, it's conflict. Or it might be something smaller than that. It might be the hero finds, well, in the case of Star Wars, Luke ends up, you know, running into R2-D2 and C-3PO, or his uncle purchases those droids, and off we go. So, or you know, actually there's some argument as to what the inciting incident is, the moment that is the inciting incident in Star Wars. Is it the purchase of the droids? Is it the moment? It could be the moment when R2-D2 shines the message of Princess Leia. That is definitely the moment where, well, but then, you know, you could also say, hey, the R2-D2 runs off to find Obi-Wan Kenobi. Anyway, one of those moments, let's just extract that from Star Wars and say it's, you know, that moment that the story really begins, like the something happens that's different from the existing world of the hero. So then the whole rest of the story, basically a large part of the story, is conflict. This second stage of the story, conflict. So it's just in an ideal story, as far as the trajectory of the story, it's sort of like an escalating series of conflicts, whether this involves, it could be external conflicts, as it usually is in a kind of a big blockbuster movie like one of the new Star Wars movies, whatever big blockbuster, or, you know, one of the comic book, you know, superhero movies, then, you know, it's conflict with an external villain or something, but escalating conflict until we get to the climax. The climax is, you know, let's say in one of those superhero movies, that's the scene where it, for some reason, always comes down to the hero and the main villain, and there's nobody else around, and they have a big kung fu fight or whatever the case would be, and finally the hero wins or loses, but usually in these movies wins. And then we get the third and final stage of the story, which is conclusion, right? And the conclusion is the happy ending. Or if it's not a happy ending, then it's, we learn that the hero lost, but maybe learned something, or maybe didn't, but we learned something by watching the journey that the hero went through. And then the credits roll, and that part of the movie. So I'm going to repeat those three parts of the movie. So we have context, conflict, and conclusion. Now, three parts. Are they three equal parts of the movie? Is it 40 minutes, 40 minutes, and 40 minutes? No, it's about 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes, if we're lucky, of context of that first part of the movie. Then about 90 minutes or so of conflict. It's just, that whole series of conflicts throughout the movie. And then conclusion. Conclusion will be, again, lucky if we get 10 to 15 minutes. Could be as little as 5 minutes, really. I mean, it could be literally a lot of these movies are kind of like, ba-ba-ba-bum, they beat the bad guy, yay, and credits. It's like the conclusion could be as little as like a minute or 2 minutes, but, maybe 5 to 10 minutes where they go, wow, we finally figured that out, or we finally beat the bad guy, or I finally figured out that thing that was really bugging me, and now I've moved on to this new stage, yay, credits. Star Wars, to take that as an example, escalating conflict, with Darth Vader and then they go to the Death Star and all kinds of conflict there. And then they finally get they get back to the Rebel base. They have the plans. They have the battle of the Death Star, the big conclusion, blow up the Death Star, very obvious conclusion. Yay. They blew up the Death Star. Then what do we get for the conclusion? Great conclusion. Star Wars is one of the greatest movies of all time. And a big part of my childhood. You'll be hearing more about Star Wars in future episodes. I have a Last Jedi review in me coming up soon. We get the award ceremony, right? Here, hey, they come in, they get their awards, and then they're standing up there all looking great, and credits. Yay, they're done. How long is that part of the movie? Like 5 minutes, if that, so conclusion. Okay, so context, conflict, and conclusion. We get the idea here. Conflict is by far the longest part of any story. So what I'm trying to say here is that what are stories? Stories are about conflict, or the word I like to use is trouble, 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 trouble. Stories are all about trouble. If you don't have trouble, then you don't have a story. It's just the framework of a story that's the way a story, is constructed. It's, hey, here's these characters. Oh, here's some trouble they got into. More trouble, more trouble, more trouble, more trouble. They solved their big problem, whatever that was. Conclusion. Let's come out of the movie theater and let's go see another movie. Let's go see a TV show. Let's go watch a TV show. And so we're constantly in this state of being barraged by this frame of receiving information, this framework, right? Main character, lots of trouble, solve the problem. If we're lucky, we get, they solve the problem. And this doesn't, this is not limited to films or, fiction books or TV shows. We are barraged with news stories every day. That would be a big example. I'm sure I could think of some others, but news stories, right? So what do they call them? They call them news stories. They're news stories. Oh, what's the top story of the day? And so these top stories, it's horrible. You go on Google News. I mean, I like Google overall, I guess, but it's an aggregator of the top stories of the week, of the day. And what do you get? You get this horrible bunch of, horrible things that are, here's the top 10 worst things that are happening in the world today, in the country today. Well, you know, you're going to get a big dose of, hey, here's what's going on with Donald Trump and the Trump administration and all kinds of trouble there. And then, oh, by the way, here's the 10 worst, you know, five worst, you know, murders and mass shootings and horrible train wrecks. I mean, I just looked on today. I try to minimize looking at the news as much as I can. But, you know, I saw that there was an Amtrak train wreck, you know, so this is what we're looking at every day. So every time. So really think about this. If you're a news consumer, think about what you're consuming. You're consuming stories, and stories by definition means trouble. So if everything goes well, it's not a story, and you're not going to hear about it. It's not going to make the top stories. It's not going to make the top story section. If a problem gets resolved, you're not going to hear about it, or you're going to hear very briefly about it, just like in the conclusion of a movie. You're going to hear briefly about it, and then guess what? On to the next story, on to the next trouble, on to the next problems, because that's what hooks our minds. That's what hooks that old part of our minds, the amygdala, is trouble. We're always okay. I'm going to be taking some license here, so this may or may not be exactly accurate, but just imagine prehistoric us. In living in caves or wherever we were living. And the first stories were probably about, hey, I was out trying to hunt a woolly mammoth today. And I'm going to call him Ben because I don't know what the heck their names were back then. And I don't want to say anything offensive to cave people. And Ben got, skewered by a woolly mammoth out there. So here's a little story for you. Do not charge straight at a woolly mammoth. They will just skewer you. What you need to do is, or we're going to go out tomorrow and try a different tactic. And then they go out tomorrow, they come back and say, hey, we tried it from the back. And the woolly mammoth totally didn't hear us. So we ended up bringing home woolly mammoth meat. Here's some woolly mammoth meat. So there's a story for you. And everybody would be listening pretty attentively to those stories because it was a, life or death situation, right? I gotta, this is the kind of thing I have to deal with every day. If I'm going out hunting, I need to make sure and record that information, very important information. And so there you go. There's stories. So here we are, thousands of years later, but historically speaking, that's not that long of a time. And we still have these brains that are like cave people brains, and we're still absorbing this information, as if, so we're recording this information with this very old part of the brain that, is very important to us, or our brains are telling us is very important to us. So even when we go to see Independence Day or some, whatever the most recent version of that is, then we're, there's a part of our brain that's kind of watching pretty intently because we're learning like, okay, so if there is a giant alien attack and giant ships come out of the sky, what do I need to do to survive here? So we're hooked in by trouble all the time. Trouble, 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 right? Think of any movie, any big blockbuster franchise, any, popular TV show or TV series on Netflix, Amazon, anything else. And you will find nothing but trouble, nothing but trouble. Game of Thrones, trouble. What's that one with Kevin Spacey? The politician one. Anyway, you're saying it right now. Trouble, right? Nothing but trouble. Backstabbing and intrigue and complications and people lying and trying to kill each other, trying to gain power. Okay, and then movies. Star Wars, right? Star Wars. One of my favorite, I grew up with Star Wars. I love Star Wars. Don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you you shouldn't ever watch or watch a movie again or listen to or read or whatever. I'm not an anti-story person, but I'm just trying to raise our awareness about what is a story and what kinds of stories do we want to let in, right? So with Star Wars, right? Star Wars, would anybody go and see a movie called Star Peace? Star Peace. Oh man, everything's fine in this movie. Everything's fine throughout the whole movie. It's 2 hours of utopia. Everything worked out. Everything worked out before the start of the movie. And hey, here's people getting along well. And we've figured out the climate change thing. Yay, that worked out. No more wars. Yay. People of different races and genders all treat each other with fairness and equality. Boy, that all sounds pretty good. That sounds pretty good. Why would we not be interested in that? But we're not interested in that. That's not what's interesting to our brains. Our brains are only interested in trouble. Here's another example. Water cooler conversation on Monday morning. Hey, Joe, how was your weekend? And Joe says, pretty good. Yeah, on Saturday we went to the beach, had a great time. Came home, had a great dinner, had some friends over, and then yesterday, we went to a park. Oh, great. Or, hey, Joe, how was your weekend? It was interesting, that's for sure. Let's see, on Saturday we went to the beach, and then you wouldn't believe what happened. We forgot the beach umbrella, and me and my wife, we both sunburn really easily, and we also forgot our sunscreen. So then we're kind of at this remote beach. We didn't realize until we got there, and so we end up having a hike, like 5 miles to the nearest town. And we get there to this shop owner in this shop was just like, first of all, we could barely understand what he was saying, but then we were trying to get this sunscreen and an umbrella from him. And he said, yes, he had that, but it cost $1,000. And we were like, what? Okay, you get the idea, right? Trouble. Trouble, 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 trouble. That is what we're interested in. That's what a story is. It's all about, getting into trouble and the experience that we have, the experiences we have with trouble and challenges and how we overcome those challenges. Now, that example was like a smaller example of something that would happen in your own life. But I guarantee you, if you're having a water cooler conversation, hey, how was your trip to Hawaii? Oh, it was great. That is basically like in story language, that's like saying nothing happened. Nothing happened. What actually happened was we had a really good time. And, if we could actually appreciate having a good time and being at peace and enjoyment, having enjoyment in our lives, then maybe there would be something else. Maybe that's something to explore, is how do we appreciate the boring times, or not boring, but just pleasant times. But, basically in story language, hey, we had a great time. Everything was great. Then that's like nothing happened. In story language, hey, how was your vacation? Oh, well, the first day was good, but then, we went out on this, catamaran tour. I don't know, I'm making this up. And we were going to go to this place where there were some turtles, but then this storm came in. You get the idea. Trouble, 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 trouble. So what do we get when we focus on trouble all the time? Oh, here's some other, I'm just going to look this up. I'm going to see if I can grab this part of my speech on the fly here. Okay, so I did, this is actually true. So I did a Google search on the phrase, the world is doing better than ever. And here's what I found out. Extreme poverty has collapsed. Basic education and literacy has exploded. Democracy has rapidly spread around the globe. In the last 100 years, we've seen the average human life expectancy nearly double and childhood mortality drop tenfold. Harvard professor and psychology, Harvard professor of psychology Steven Pinker says, violence has been in decline for thousands of years, and today we may be living in one of the most peaceful eras in the existence of our species. Isn't that great news? Great news, right, everybody? So we can just stop worrying about things. As it turns out, we're in one of the most peaceful eras of human existence. Phew! Isn't that great? Well, no, and I'll just, you know, this is what I said in my speech. You know, hey, we live happily ever after, right? No, but here's what's actually going to happen is you're going to, I mean, in the speech, I said you're going to walk out of here today, but you're going to stop listening to this today. And, you know, this is all very interesting information to your neocortex and your prefrontal lobe. But you're going to walk out of here and then you're just going to be exposed to a battery of stories of conflict about all the problems that are happening in this world. It's not that there are not problems in the world, but all we're focused on most of the time is problems. And so it seems like it literally seems like if you go on Facebook right now, let's say this first year with Donald Trump in the press, it still makes me just like, oh my God, I can't believe that is the reality, but there it is. And I have something to say about that in just a moment as well. But if you went on Facebook, you would think, or, you know, went to Google News or New York Times, wherever, you would think we were living in one of the worst trouble-filled times in humanity and that we're all going to hell in a handbasket. And actually, I think that any era that you live in, I think people in general always feel that way. And why do people feel that way? It's because of stories. It's because of stories. Because we're constantly taking in information in a way that sets us up to only focus on what's going wrong all the time. There's another part in my speech where I've got a bunch of information. I'm still kind of putting this speech together. So anyway, thanks for participating in my process for putting together this amazing TED Talk speech type thing. Another part of it, I was talking about. I did a little bit more research and found that there was a, I don't remember where it was, if it was, it might have been in Russia, actually, or it might have been somewhere in the United States, but it could have been a small online newspaper or something, or maybe it was a real newspaper. I don't remember. I'll look it up. But here's the thing. They did an experiment, and they put only good news on the front page for a day, a week, something like that. And what happened? What do you think happened when they put good news stories on the front page? Do you think that their viewership or readership skyrocketed because everybody was so happy to see all this good news and really appreciated that? No, exactly the opposite. Their viewership and ratings and so on plummeted through the floor because nobody was interested. Nobody was interested in hearing about good news. It's just not interesting. It doesn't mean that we don't all want peace. We do. I mean, I'm just gonna, for the benefit of the doubt, I'm gonna assume that you as a human being, you want happiness and you want peace in your life, right? You want that. But peace and happiness are not interesting. They're not interesting to your brain. They're not the thing that hooks your brain. Like to hear somebody, well, you know, I watched a documentary about happiness. The name of the documentary is Happy. I found that documentary very interesting. And actually, you know, maybe if you're a personal development type person like me, you would be interested in hearing about peace and happiness. But what naturally hooks our brains just on a biological level is trouble, trouble, trouble. So let's see. Is there anything else I want to say about this? Well, I would argue that, let me go back to my speech here. I kind of just like doing this off the cuff. So thanks for bearing with me. Okay, so I've talked about this, the structure of story, and I would say this. So what was the biggest trouble that as a country in the United States we've faced together in the past few years? And, you know, there's lots. Well, okay, so here's the other piece. So now some examples, right? And I'll probably open the speech with this, because I'm telling you a little story, and stories are going to what you're most interested in before I lay on the facts and figures. So 2010, do you remember in 2010, the Gulf oil spill? Do you remember that? Were you transfixed by the Gulf oil spill? I was. My daughter had just been born. She's 7 years old now. She was a little baby. I remember rocking, kind of trying to get my daughter to fall asleep, take a nap or something, and watching CNN, where they had that deviously compelling live shot of the oil just spilling into the Gulf of Mexico. You know, it's just like pouring in, and you're just like standing there helpless, looking at that, going like, "They've got to stop that. How are they gonna stop it?" And I personally just couldn't stop watching it. You know, and they had the day count and everything. Oh, it was day 45, day 53, day 70, you know, and I think as a nation overall, we were pretty transfixed with that. And, oh, come on, Obama. You know, Obama was just new to office, and it's like, or fairly new, right? In 2010, a couple of years in, it was like, come on, you got to do something. What are you doing, Obama? Come on. And then on day 87 or whatever day it was, they capped it. They finally capped it. I don't know what the deal was. What was the big problem? Anyway, I know there's a lot. I know it was complex, but they capped it. Yay, they capped it. Yay. And again, think of the conclusion of the movie. It's 5 minutes, right? It's the awards ceremony at the end of Star Wars. Yay, they capped it. I mean, of course, there's all the cleanup work to do, but never mind. That doesn't fit into the content. That doesn't fit into the structure of storytelling. Nobody wants to hear about that, right? Oh, cleanup. Boring. Anyway, so, and I don't mean to be insensitive. I know people are still in the Gulf, you know, cleaning that up. And, I think I tuned in, you know, a few months ago to see how is the Gulf doing. And yeah, sure enough, there's plenty of problems left, I believe. But I don't really know. Why? Because no one's talking about it. What actually happened when they capped that pipe? After about a day or so, it was on to the next thing, on to the next thing, on to the next thing, on to the next thing. And that's all that we were just getting completely jerked around by stories. And don't blame the news industry. They're just doing what they have to do because they're telling stories. So they have to be telling the story of trouble. And when trouble is over, and we reach the conclusion, the story's over, and it's on to the next story. And there's always another story, right? So here's another example. Ebola. I just remember being completely, and again, you know, just to be sensitive to the fact that there were people in Africa that were completely waylaid by Ebola. It's not that it wasn't a serious crisis. It was. But for about a week, if I remember correctly, and I don't know if you would remember this too, but for about a week, I was completely waylaid by the prospect of Ebola coming to the United States. And everybody was talking about Ebola, and the president was trying to address, okay, what are we going to do about Ebola? And completely wiped out thinking about this. And it was that amygdala part of my brain. I see that we're almost at 40 minutes here. So thanks for, if you're interested in this, thanks for joining me. And if you were not and you stopped listening, well, then you won't even hear this. But anyway, it's okay. That's okay. So Ebola, right? And then, oh, they figured it out. Whatever it was, it just didn't manifest. It didn't materialize in the United States. And on to the next thing, right? Not that we heard more and more about Ebola. No, we reached the conclusion of that problem. On to the next problem. And then on to the, I feel like I've been suckered into feeling, you know, completely waylaid about all these mass shootings that have happened. Like every time, gosh, I'll bet you could probably identify with at least, you know, one or more of these, you know, the Newtown shootings of those poor, you know, children and those families that were involved in that. I mean, I'm not saying that we should be in denial about these things and pretend like they're not happening, but I think we should just be aware of what is happening. Is any one of us doing anything meaningful about any of this? If this spurred you on to action about gun violence, then that's great. You know, that's it, taking meaningful steps. But I think most of us are just being whipped around by all these problems, all these, you know, horrific stories that we're hearing in the news. Okay, here's another one. Cecil the Lion. All right. You remember Cecil the Lion? What was this, like probably 4 years ago now, 3 or 4 years ago? Perfect story in the sense that, I mean, again, I feel bad for Cecil. I feel bad for lions that they're killed. But hey, there's probably a lion that was killed today. Did you hear about it? No, you didn't, because it didn't fit the story structure that that we're looking for, that we're interested in as human beings. So Cecil the Lion, perfect story elements there. Do you remember who killed Cecil the Lion? The dentist. They would always say I can't remember his name, but so and so, the American dentist from the United States, went and killed this lion. And they, you know, it was like this, I don't know, somehow it fit into this narrative of this evil person that would go and do this. And for about maybe 3 days to maybe up to a week, but I would say probably even that would be generous, everybody was just concerned about hunting lions in Africa. We were all just outraged about that. Are you still outraged? And you know, if I, up until the moment that I just mentioned Cecil the Lion, had you been thinking about you know, lions being killed in Africa? Because that continues on. You know, that's still happening. I don't really know what's happening with that, because, you know, that's not in the headlines right now. And then, to continue on with my giant diatribe about this, then the biggest, you know, the trouble-filled story of our recent lives in the United States, the 2016 election. Oh, man, that was perfect. Perfect storytelling. It was like, you know, of course, you know, we have the reality TV presidential candidate. It's perfect in some ways in a storytelling sense that he has become our, you know, reality TV president, because that whole thing fit the framework of like a reality. It was like an ongoing reality TV show, the 2016 election. And we had these two, you know, it depended on what side you were on, who was the villain and who was the hero. But, you know, if you were a Democrat, I guess I'm just going to be transparent and say, you might guess that maybe I'm liberal leaning. Yep, I'm liberal leaning. And I don't know if I'd call myself a Democrat. I'm not that huge of a fan of either party, really. But I would say I'm liberal leaning. And so for me, Hillary Clinton was the hero and Donald Trump was the villain. But hey, if you're a Trump supporter, then it was exactly the reverse. And oh, isn't that great? We all have our own little media universes that we can live in without ever having to confront the other one. So we actually have here's MSNBC, where we're going to get just our side of it. And you guys get Fox News if you're a Trump supporter. And what is all this? It's all story. It's just the construct of story, and we're all suckers for it. And we follow that whole thing all the way to its dramatic and horrible and or wonderful conclusion, where Donald Trump ended up becoming the president of the United States. How did that happen? I'll tell you how that happened, because Donald Trump is the king of trouble. He knows how to create trouble. He's not afraid to say things that are troublesome and problematic. He's not afraid to do things that I'm not a supporter of Donald Trump. So I'm not saying that this in a like, wow, he's so courageous. No, he's just someone who could go into the psychology of Donald Trump, but let's leave that for another time. You know, the first thing he said, what did he say? The Mexicans, they're bringing their crime, they're rapists and all this sort of stuff. Like, right out of the gate, it was like, can you believe what Donald Trump just said? And the news media cannot not cover Donald Trump. Why? Because he's causing trouble all the time, you know, and trouble is what a story is. It's about trouble. So they're beholden to cover all this. And now he's in office. And now where are we at? The Russia investigation. Or no, now the memo, the blah, 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 blah. So here's the thing. I almost want to go into this separately but let me just say this now. Like, just be aware of all this. Just be aware of it. I'm not telling you not to look at the news, although I would recommend, you know, Tim Ferriss in the 4-hour work week talks about doing a media fast. I think that's a good idea. I'm not saying that I never look at the news. I get sucked in by this stuff too. But I'm trying to lessen the impact of these stories on my life. You know, I'm trying to filter. This is like I've got a title for an episode that I want to do, so I can refer to it here. The filtered life. You should be living a filtered life. You know, we can have just about anything we want in our lives now via the internet. We've really got to think about what we want to let in. So I would suggest that you think about what stories you want to let in. And on the Hell Yes Life podcast in season one, we had the type of stories that I want to hear more of. Now, we're not just going to hear about good stuff and walking in the park here, because stories are about trouble. But I want to hear stories like the story of, here, let me just pull it up here. Some of these, I want to hear about Olympia Lapointe. And you'd have to look up the episode number. I don't have it handy. But Olympia Lapointe, she wanted to be a rocket scientist. And she grew up in South Central Los Angeles in a crime-ridden neighborhood. Her mother told her and her siblings to sleep with her feet pointed towards the window, because that way, if a bullet came into the house, it would only hit them in the feet rather than the head. That's the kind of environment she grew up in. But Olympia kept, she was interested in math and science. And at some point I think she visited the Jet Propulsion Laboratory when she was young. And she was like, I want to be a rocket scientist. And this dream was so far outside of her reality that it seemed impossible, but she kept trying at math and science in school, and she kept failing. She failed in geometry, she failed in physics, but she kept trying and trying, and she kept coming back to it. You know, I didn't really math and science was not my specialty, so I can tell you that I certainly wouldn't have come back time after time, but Olympia did, and she ended up getting into college. She graduated at the top of her class in physics. And then she ended up getting a job at NASA, and she went on to help launch 27 space shuttle missions. And now she has a TED Talk about confronting your fears. And that TED Talk has received over 600,000 views so far. I mean, it's probably more than that. I haven't checked in a while. Those are the kind of stories we need to hear more of. We need to hear inspiring stories. We first need to be aware of what stories are doing to us. We then need to filter the stories that we let in the gate, right? So think about, do you need to hear the top stories of the day on Google News? I can tell you that there's a filter that I use. There's a Donald Trump filter. It actually takes Trump out of your news site. So I would highly recommend that. And then there's another filter. I'm just going to have to, you know, if you're really interested, send me an email and I'll send you the names of these filters. But, there's another filter where you can actually by keyword, note, you know, what you don't want to see stories about. So I've got, mine says, let's see here. Let's see if I can pull this up. Here are the keywords on mine. So I don't see stories about these things. Abortion, bloodied, bomb, bombs, Clinton, cops, crime, dead, Democrat, Democrats, Democratic, Dems, Donald Trump, doomsday clock, earthquake, explode, explosion, flu, kill. Anyway, I think there's a few more than that, but you get the idea. And guess what happens when you put all those words in and you say, I don't want to see stories about this thing? You get a blank Google News section. Like, there's almost nothing that comes through. And the things that do come through are like, you wouldn't have noticed those stories at all. And it's like, oh, well, that's a more interesting story. Let me actually do that. I'm just going to do that real quick. Oh, no, never mind. I don't have an internet connection. Anyway, you get the idea. So, what do I want to say to round this out? I think I've pretty much said everything I want to say in a kind of a long-winded sort of way, but hopefully you've got something out of this. And, just think about stories, you know, and think about the types of stories you want to let in, because here's the reality, guys. Life is not a story. It's not a story. Like, probably anything that you do today will not make the final cut of the movie because there was no trouble involved. You go grocery shopping today, that's not going to make the cut. Did you, do some chores at home or rake the leaves or something? That's not going to make the cut. There's no trouble there. Most of life in the present moment is not a story. You know, and I think we need to learn, I'll speak for myself. I need to learn how to enjoy those moments, how to enjoy the non-story moments of our lives. I'm not against stories. Enjoy the latest Star Wars movie or the latest superhero movie. But just learn how to, you know, filter your stories and, maybe gravitate towards stories that are going to inspire you instead of bring you down. Okay, that's it for me. Only 52 minutes for this episode. Hope you enjoyed it. Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Hell Yes Life podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite RSS feed. If you like the show, please leave a rating and review. And if you want to stay connected, visit hellyeslife.com and sign up for the e-newsletter and private Facebook group. Again, I'm Norman Bell. Thanks for joining me. Now let's get out there and live a Hell Yes Life.